Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a PhD degree in public policy, MA degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
Hey, here in the upstate of South Carolina. Again, we're glad you've joined us this morning and glad that we've had improvements once again to our signal quality. As you are driving through the upstate, you may be surprised that you're hearing my voice thinking, what is this Dr. Coben and the Christian Worldview program? Well, it's the Tyranny Response Network, folks, and we're expanding our signal so that more people in the upstate of South Carolina are going to be able to listen to us. So we're glad you joined us this morning. Look for more improvements, by the way. Currently, we're able to reach all the way down to Williamston now, and even to parts of Anderson, I understand. And we're glad for that. We're also glad that we're able to get up towards Spartanburg. And that range is only going to improve as time goes on. Well, we have a very special show today. In fact, this whole week is going to be just a special time because we have with us, joining me in the studio as a co-host this morning, Rippin' Richie. Say good morning, Richie.
Good morning.
Richie got his name for, well, I'm going to let you tell the story where you, how you got your name. If people are wondering, well, Dr. Coben, what do you have in a guy on your show named Richie, who Rippin' Richie for? Well, I'll tell you, there's a very good reason why, and I think you'll appreciate his Christian commitment by his activist stance in the past with other things in his life. Why don't you give us a clue as what actually happened in your life that gave you that name Rippin' Richie, and what some of the things you've done with your radio show in the past?
Well, a few years ago, we found out from another radio show about some books that Barnes & Noble and other reputable bookstores were carrying. And these books contained pictures of naked children. And it was supposedly art, and we heard a lot of people making a big fuss about it. So we went down to Barnes & Noble to see if it really was as bad as they said it was, and believe me, it was some pretty sick stuff. Probably not unlike the stuff they found in Michael Jackson's locked file cabinet.
Huh.
So we decided as an act of civil disobedience to go to the store and rip up one of those books to bring it to everybody's attention. So we called the media, said this is what we're going to do, went out and did it, and we got it on the all the local news channels, got some national news coverage, and it did lead to some the local prosecutor going after him. So it did some good. We never won that war, but interestingly, a couple of years later, I believe there was a child molester in Georgia somewhere, in the Atlanta area, I believe, who was they found some of these same books that we were protesting in this guy's house, this guy who had molested children. So apparently the what pedophiles do is they'll take one of these books and they'll show it to kids and say, look, this is normal for you to take your clothes off and pose for pictures because look, this nice glossy book we got at this bookstore, they have pictures like this, so you should do this too.
Incredible. Now tell me the story. The story that was most fascinating to me was the one about the park. Didn't you take a couple of the photos to the park or something like that and were showing them to a cop? And
oh, no. Well, when we ripped up the book at this bookstore, afterwards, my wife grabbed some of the pages off the floor to take as evidence, and the manager lady tried to take them from my wife but was unsuccessful because my wife's pretty tough. But she actually showed these pictures to a police officer, and she said, what would you do if you saw some guy at a park somewhere if he was selling pictures like this? You know, if they weren't in some nice glossy book in a respected store. And the police, he admitted that I'd arrest the guy.
Oh, isn't that crazy? I'll tell you what, this is American American justice for you. The way things are is just appalling in this country. We've seen the decline. We're not surprised when we see what happens in terms of morality in this nation anymore. How can anybody be surprised by anything if they were willing to slaughter 1.3 million unborn children every year? Just slice them up, dice them up, burn them up, whatever they want to do to these people. They go ahead and kill innocent human beings. Kiddie porn is a disgusting practice, but nevertheless, it shouldn't really surprise us given the nature of things here in the United States and America. Now, one of our listeners asked me, Richie, she said to me, well, how do you justify the ideals of Jefferson, where a person is protecting his life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness or property, and then going in and destroying private property? Now, I'll tell you, my response is, look, if it's used in the commission of a crime, private property is not necessarily to be protected. Now, what did, and I could elaborate on that, but what was your thinking on that? How were you able to go ahead and destroy the Barnes & Noble books and continue to be, glorifying God?
Well, certain things are, I guess, inherently evil. I believe that's one of them. I believe Thomas Jefferson said that pornography does not protected speech. It's not the free speech that's protected by the First Amendment. I believe that Thomas Jefferson said that himself.
Interesting. So the First Amendment, even beyond the First Amendment, rights to private property. This is an interesting question for Christian worldview. Is there a point in which we do not protect private property? Slaves were considered private property. Women today, apparently, if you listen to some libertarians, would say, well, there's a property right a woman has in the human being that's in her womb, and therefore we can do whatever we want with it. But I'm thinking even more abstractly than that. If you actually have private property rights, are you able to use those to harm other people or commit crimes? I'd say no. From the Christian worldview, we protect private property so insofar as private property is used for lawful purposes. I'm not talking about consensual acts here. I'm talking about when somebody violates someone else's rights, uses private property to build a nuke and then attack somebody. Somebody uses private property in order to put up a homosexual bar, maybe. Well, I don't know if I even go that far, but there's some point in which you're going to say private property is fine, but when it's used in the commission of a crime, we can no longer honor it anymore. I mean, we have to at some point be able to invade and say this is wrong, you need to stop. And what do you think about that? Any comments about the private property issue there, Rich?
Well, something that's being used for to molest children, of course, is that's definitely harming another person. It's not not something that harms no one else.
No kidding. We want to give a couple of plugs today for people, especially this Institute on the Constitution, which is coming up tonight. Don't forget to attend the Institute on the Constitution. In fact, I just got an email from Pastor Tony Romo saying, just a reminder to attend the fifth class on the Institute of the Constitution at 6:30 tonight. Now, the informalities begin at 6:30. The actual program begins at 7, so don't be afraid if you want to get there just a little bit late that you're going to be butting in or something like that. You'll do fine to get there a little bit later. He says, we do appreciate all of your faithful attendance and participating in the class. In the last 4 weeks, the knowledge and different perspectives that have been expressed have been challenging and thought-provoking. We hope that all of us are planning to be here. He says that you're cordially invited to join friends and neighbors for a wonderful opportunity to learn about American history, the underlying biblical principles on which our government is based, and the history of the drafting and ratification of the Constitution of the United States. It's the fifth week that the Institute on the Constitution is going to meet. I hope you'll have a chance to be there. Before you go, be sure to go to policyofliberty.net. There's a couple of articles there that you need to have a look at. One of them is actually in an audio format, but under the articles and papers link, you'll find the last two articles that I've written in the Times Examiner. One is called Christian Views on Self-Defense. This is just in print format. This is coming out in this week's Times Examiner. Do Christians have a right of self-defense? If they don't, they have a real problem. We might talk about that just a little bit later. We shouldn't even have any government at all if there's no right to self-defense. The other article is Christian Views on Rebellion, Highlighting the American War for Independence. This is a great primer that should be listened to and read before you attend the Institute on the Constitution to get you prepared for a very high level of good discussion from a Christian and a freedom-minded point of view. South Point Baptist Church is the location of this meeting, 203 Ina Marie Lane in Pelzer, South Carolina. Again, if you want information or to register for this, call Pastor Tony Romo at 864-269-1443. That's 864-269-1443. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We're coming up against a quick break, and we'll be back in just a second.
Warning. Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
As nations cannot be rewarded or punished in the next world, they must be so in this. By an inevitable chain of causes and effects, Providence punishes national sins by national calamities. George Mason.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Many of you know that the Tyranny Response Network is listener-supported. And here's Gene Papke to tell you how you can support the Tyranny Response Network.
That's right, John. Folks, if you support TRN and you want to help financially, here's how. We at TRN are a listener-supported broadcast. But we don't take a notions, potions, and lotions approach to fundraising. If you own, operate, or work for a company with bad paper, that is, non-performing assets, we can turn that garbage into gold. Simply go to our website, NPPros, that's N as in non, P as in profit, P-R-O-S as in professionals, your non-profit professionals, that's NPPros.com. And remember, we raise funds, but without fundraisers.
Log on today to www.npros.com and find out how you can be a vital part in supporting the Tyranny Response Network.
H.L. Mencken. Of government, at least in democratic states, it may be said briefly that it is an agency engaged wholesale, and as a matter of solemn duty, in the performance of acts which all self-respecting individuals refrain from as a matter of common decency.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
Welcome back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. I'm Rippin' Richie, co-hosting this week. If you want to call in, be on the show. The studio number is 201-6955. That's 201-6955 in the 864 area code. Got a couple of announcements to make. The Nationalist Times is a politically incorrect monthly newspaper that has reported on the progress of the Christian Worldview program since it began. TRN listeners can obtain a free postpaid sample copy by calling Nelson at 864-642-4315. Visit the Times website, anu.org. Mention this ad for a big discount on your subscription. The Nationalist Times picks up where the liberal media leave off and salutes Dr. John Coben's pioneering broadcast work. And let's see, on Tuesday, May 10th, 2005, a special Confederate Memorial Day ceremony will be conducted on the campus of Clemson University. Please tell everyone you can to come out in observance of this day to honor our Confederate ancestors who paid the ultimate sacrifice in defense of their families and their beloved Southland. Service will be held at Tillman Hall at 10 a.m. on May 10th, 2005. All are invited. For more information, please call Henry Hopkins at 864-944-1895. That's 864-944-1895.
And let me bring up again also that we have two phone lines here in the studio, and the preferred phone line actually to use this morning is our other line, which is 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. By all means, use our backup line if you need to, which is, if you can't get through on that first line, do go ahead and use the number Richie just gave you, 201-6955. But our preferred line, 864-244-8177. Love to hear from you this morning, talking about lots of interesting things on the show today. Did you know on Fox News this morning there's a headline that says, "Scientists boycott Kansas evolution hearings." Topeka, Kansas, scientists have refused to participate in the State Board of Education hearings this past week on how the theory of evolution should be treated in public schools, but they haven't exactly been silent. About a dozen scientists, most from Kansas University, spoke each day at news conferences after evolution critics testified before a board subcommittee. They expect to continue speaking out as the hearings wrap up on Thursday. Now, I don't know if that's because they don't want to be confront people with creationist ideas, which is probably the case. They're just chickens. Or if they really believe they'd just be insulted by debasing themselves and going to some sort of meeting like this. But the deeper question I have, folks, is not that we see this sort of fight going on. The deeper question and concern or comment that I have is simply that in a public school, what do you expect? We aren't talking about people in a public school promoting Christian morality, promoting Christian principles, a Christian worldview. We're talking about a public school that is completely sold out to the things of this world, including alternative lifestyles, false pseudoscience promoting evolution, evolution, yes, but also environmentalist theories, wacky environmentalist doctrines. You've got the theory of evolution, which is promoted as fact and truth. Why? Because they're not promoting a Christian worldview. What else would we expect? They also promote other things like social Darwinism and socialism itself, Marxism. The kinds of things that go on at public school have been widely reported recently, and for many shows, I guess a couple months ago, we were reading Bruce Short's fabulous new book, The Harsh Truth About Public Schools. If you read Bruce Short's book, you'll begin to have your eyes open that even in my backyard, even in our local public school, you're having a huge influx of homosexual information, Mother Earth worship information, and other degrading ideas that are being promoted to so many children these days. I'll tell you what, the public school to me, Richie, is our worst enemy. I can't think of a single institution that is doing more harm to the Christian worldview in the church in this day and age.
Well, absolutely. I mean, you think about some of the politicians that run for office, and do you think that anyone that had a true education and understood, especially what this country was founded on, the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, would anyone that understood those documents vote for any of the people that run for office now?
No, I don't think so. And in fact, public school graduates are notorious for not knowing anything about the principles of the Constitution. That the story that sticks in my mind just so much, I just can't get it out of my head. That one that Fox News reported about 3 months ago, the survey of high school students said, you know, what do you think about the Bill of Rights? And the majority of public school high school students said that they thought that they had too many rights, especially the First Amendment, needed to be returned back to the government, and we don't actually need this kind of right of freedom of speech, freedom of religion, and assembly, and so forth. Unbelievable. This is what it's not only the public school doesn't teach it, they teach the antithesis of the principles of our founding fathers and causes all sorts of problems later on, including, like you said, in political elections.
Well, think about the connection you have here. You have liberal politicians who support the liberal NEA, National Education Association. These teachers have in their best interest to continually have the American public elect these liberal politicians who will continually vote to give them financial benefits, many of which they have not earned. And so we have, just a horrible scam, and not many people say anything about it.
Yes, that's very true. They don't say much about it, and it is an incredible scam. Of course, I said all along the reason they hate homeschoolers so much is because we are completely outside of their system. They realize that with a dumbed-down populace, with the populace that follows along the Pied Piper, or the populace that follows along the secular humanist ideology, is going to be much easier to manipulate, much easier to get votes from, to get money from, power from. If you have homeschoolers out there, and people like Thomas Jefferson, of course, were homeschooled. All of the founding fathers were, by and large, homeschooled, by the way, in case you didn't know that. They are outside of the pale and actually learn things that are contrary to the modern accepted doctrines out there. And these people will, in the future, change the world, not only because they are so much better academically prepared, but because they have not been infused with all this nonsense and malarkey and poppycock that's taught in public schools regarding the homosexual movement, regarding, just all the other stuff I mentioned earlier. These kids have been able to escape that by and large. So they know their true enemy is the homeschoolers. They try to get under our skin any way they can. They try to get in inside our movement any way, I call it our movement, the movement for freedom and through homeschooling any way they can. But they, by God's grace, will not have the ultimate victory, we hope.
True, true. Well, and the article that you started off with in Kansas, as John said, they were having these hearings on whether or not how much evolution should be in school, and the evolution scientists were boycotting it. It appeared to me they were just having a temper tantrum, or they were pouting. I think they were scared to confront the creationists head on, because we know what happens when we have those debates. The evolutionist normally loses, and I think that they were actually scared to debate these people and were come up with a story that they were, you know, they're too good to actually attend these hearings, which I believe was a cover up.
What a farce! Well, my PhD is in public policy, not in a natural science field, but all the people I've ever interviewed on the radio or talked to point out the fact that evolution is just so preposterous, and there are so many holes in the theory that even unbelievers are doubting it by and large. The whole idea of how, for instance, Behe's argument, how you could actually get an eye evolve over millions of years, you know, a salamander sitting on a rock, can't see anything. How does it even survive to be able to reproduce or to eat? Just the absolutely bizarre stuff that they actually believe in, this faith called evolution. Well, you're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, with my co-host this morning, Rippin' Richie Williams, and we're going to be back in just a minute.
Disinfecting the modern mainstream media, Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
Civilization is the progress toward a society of privacy. The savage's whole existence is public, ruled by the laws of his tribe. Civilization is the process of setting men free from men. Ayn Rand.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is your captain speaking. We want to thank you for flying TRN Airways. Now, if you'll just look out of your left side window, you can see the dense clouds of liberal lunacy commonly polluting the airwaves. On the right side, you can see clear skies full of common sense, liberty-minded conversation. Now, as we enter the Christian worldview airspace, we'll be experiencing clear-headed thinking, and we'll soon be reaching logical conclusions. Feel free to recline your seat and enjoy the remainder of the flight. And thank you for flying TRN Airways.
Mr. Speaker, I want someone on that side of the House to tell me the difference between the bold robber who holds you up on the highway and robs you of your money, and the government that does the bidding of a band of robbers who prescribe the conditions by which you shall come in and surrender your money. I will tell you the difference. One takes his chances and runs the risk of losing his own life in his effort to rob others, while the other gang uses the governmental machinery to hold up and plunder the citizen, and in the name of law, commits his crimes against humanity. Congressman James T. Heflin, Alabama, 1909.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
Oh, and we love to hurl it with great force here on Christian Worldview. I want to remind you folks about the Times Examiner. Yes, is our favorite paper here in the Upstate. Call Bob Dill for a subscription. $25 a year, $27 a year if you're out of state. The Christian Exodus folks especially take notice of this. You can call him at 864-268-0576. That's 864-268-0576. Or pick up a copy if you happen to be in the area, 44 Pine Knoll Drive in Greenville. The Times Examiner is full of great columnists. Now, I'm not saying every columnist is great. Don't misunderstand me, but it's full of great columnists that write from a true conservative or a libertarian, pro-life libertarian point of view. And famous local people like yours truly, Dr. John Coben, the Tyranny Response Unit, as well as Ben Graydon. Occasionally you'll have Juliet Kosak and Dr. Al Hafer from the Constitution Party also writing in, Dr. Stephen Yates. Excellent work by all these folks, as well as the nationally syndicated columnists like Thomas Sowell, Pat Buchanan, Charlie Reese, Joseph Sobrin, and one of my favorites and former professor, Dr. Walter Williams. So be sure to pick up a copy of the Times Examiner or have a subscription sent to you, 864-268-0576. Once again, if you're listening to the show for the first time, welcome to the broadcast. We know that our radio signal is now stronger than it's ever been, and we're able to reach further into the upstate of South Carolina than ever before, and we're glad for that, and we can only tell you it's going to get better as the month progresses. We have, or the Tyranny Response Network, I should say, has plans to continue to expand the range of their signal, and we appreciate all of the volunteers' effort in doing such a great job in getting us onto the airwaves. Well, you know, Richie, we've been talking about a number of different things here, public schools and Well, these kinds of issues dealing with government mishaps. And here, Fox News had another story about another mishap today. And before I read it, I wanted to just go back and give some our listeners some other thoughts here about the Christian worldview. Remember, we view a limited government as absolutely important, essential, and according to the vision of the Founding Fathers, for a peaceful and prosperous society. When I say that, though, I'm careful to not go too far with that statement. Remember, we had a show a while back on the whole issue of anarchy, and some people were really shocked and surprised. Well, Dr. Coben, you mentioned the word anarchy, not in the sense of chaos, just in the sense of having no political organization. How can we be those as Christians who support anarchy? Well, I didn't say we need to support anarchy. What I said in the past was, folks, if we have a choice between Mao, Stalin, Fidel Castro, or most of the other goons who have ever been leaders of states in the last 2,000 years, it would be better for us to choose anarchy than live under those kinds of totalitarian murderers and people that confiscate your property and plunder you and so forth. That was what my statement was. And from a Christian worldview, we look at reactive policy, that is the ability to defend ourselves in the courts or with the military or police force, as the only true legitimate purpose of government. Once government goes beyond that scope and starts actually intruding into our lives, changing our behavior, or using some sort of a redistributive plan for a Robin Hood-style program of policy, it goes beyond the pale of what can be justified biblically and can be justified given the vision and political philosophy of the Founding Fathers. So, given that, having said that, and in support of reactive policy and limited government, limited constitutional government, note what happened here in this mistrial in the Ohio highway shootings. Fox News reports a judge declared a mistrial Sunday in the case of a man who admitted to a sting of highway shootings, one of which killed a woman, but claimed innocence by reason of insanity. The hung jury came after four full days of deliberations in the trial of Charles McCoy Jr., charged with 12 shootings that terrified Columbus area commuters over 5 months in 2003 and 2004. Earlier in the day, jurors told the judge they voted twice on the issue of insanity and could not reach a unanimous decision. Two jurors sighed and had tears in their eyes when they were sent back to continue deliberations. The panel deliberated about an hour longer before declaring another impasse. Interesting enough, we have here a man who already has admitted, folks, that he's shot all of these people. And what kind of justice are we getting out of our court system? Are we really getting a justice that lines up with a vision of the Founding Fathers? I think this is a travesty of justice. Now, the death penalty is a whole other issue. We're not going to get into that right now. But do you agree with me, Richie, that the American system of justice is just totally perverse?
Oh, it's horrible. It's horrible to see what goes on, what people get away with. Of course, well, first thing I would think about is Florida and all these sex offenders there that have done these things, and they're out roaming around and doing this stuff again. The guy in Ohio, I didn't know that was in court until the last couple of days when the story broke that he had a problem with that. Do you know the extent of this guy's mental disability? What are they basing this on? Have you seen that?
From what I can tell, it's a pretty weak defense, and I don't have the exact details of it, but he pled insanity. But he was apparently sane enough to go around and shoot people on a regular routine basis during 2003, 2004, and had enough foresight to actually make plans and go out on the highway with his gun and blast people.
Yeah, I think the bar for insanity should be awfully high for a court case like that. I'm not sure if the Founding Fathers ever wrote about that. I'm not sure if that's dealt with in the Bible even. But, you know, all these people, when they get caught, claim to be crazy.
Yeah, well, the Bible doesn't actually talk about insanity, as far as I know, in that realm. If you kill somebody in the Bible, in the Old Testament at any rate, you were killed, no matter if you were crazy or epileptic or anything else. It didn't matter. But in this particular their case, they're not even willing to convict the guy. It's one thing to talk about the death penalty and whether he should die for his crimes. It's another thing to say, we don't even have enough a backbone in our justice system, or our public school educated jurors aren't even able to see, this guy admits to shooting 12 people randomly driving around the Columbus area, just blasting them, and we can't even tell the world that he's guilty. That's just phenomenal to me.
Yeah, that's sad. I'm sure that the jurors that couldn't decide probably went to public school.
Yeah, they probably did. Well, that's a great comment. Well, I'll tell you what, seeing all the other killings around the world that George W. Bush has led to. Yes, George W. Bush is not your great vicar of righteousness in the world or the kingdom of God, the vicar of Jesus Christ or some such thing, and helping promote the kingdom of God in the world. He's caused a lot of war, and we continue to have dozens of more people killed every day in Iraq, whether they're terrorists or otherwise, people dying over there in what's basically become a civil war. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We're going to go to a quick break, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
In Common Sense, Thomas Paine writes, "Could we take off the dark covering of antiquity pertaining to the origin of kings and of the state and trace them to their first rise, we should find the first of them nothing better than the principal ruffian of some restless gang, whose savage manners or preeminence subtly obtained him the title of chief among plunderers, and who by increasing in power and extending his depredations overawed the quiet and defenseless to purchase their safety by frequent contributions."
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
A wise and frugal government, which shall restrain men from injuring one another, which shall leave them otherwise free to regulate their own pursuits of industry and improvement, and shall not take from the mouth of labor the bread it has earned. This is the sum of good government. Thomas Jefferson, in his first presidential inaugural address, 1801.
Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville. If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. Warning. Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis. Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a Ph.D. degree in public policy, M.A. degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of 6 homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
I'm applauding you, Dr. Coben.
Thank you so much.
Welcome back to the show. This is Christian Worldview. Good morning. We got a call, as a matter of fact, which I'm excited about. But first, the weather.
We've got 66 degrees here in Greenville. In other parts of the upstate, for some reason, it's considerably cooler. 55 and 56 degrees in Anderson and in Spartanburg. But both places, all three places, going to be up to the mid-80s today under beautiful sunny skies. So enjoy the beautiful the beautiful spring day while you're sitting in your cubicle in your office wishing you could be outside doing something else.
Why is it so much warmer here in Greenville, John?
I don't know. That's just,
I'm going to come up with a conspiracy theory.
It could be. It could be a conspiracy. Somebody has made it warmer in Greenville. Maybe the ozone layer is a little thinner or something right above us, and the environmentalists might go to have a Kyoto Protocol about this one. You never know.
We can come up with something, I'm sure.
Yeah. Well, we've got a caller on the line. We want to try to go to the line here and see if we can. Welcome to Christian Worldview with Rippin' Richie Williams and Dr. John Coben. Well, we're not getting any caller coming through on our line here. Let's see if we've lost our caller.
Hello? Hello? Hang on a sec. All right. Well, we're trying to figure out why we can't get our caller on the line. We have a caller waiting here to get on the show. We, for some reason, are not able to get him on the air. We're going to work on that technically. If you can hold on for just a second on the phone, we're going to see if we can't. Okay, we've got caller, but we've got volume here.
Okay, you.
I was starting to hear him there.
Okay, we sound like we're good. Let's go ahead and try to get him back on the air here. All right, can you hear us okay now?
I'm sorry.
All right, there we go. We've got a caller on the line. We're sorry. We've got a little bit of a buzz here, unfortunately. We're sorry about apologize to our listeners for the buzz. Who am I speaking to?
You're speaking to Ken in Asheville, North Carolina.
Well, good, Ken. We appreciate so much you calling this morning. What's on your mind?
I'm sorry. I'm having a little bit of trouble on this end, too. Do we need to continue?
Yes, I said, what's on your mind? Thanks for calling this morning, Ken.
Great. Am I speaking with Dr. Corbin?
Dr. Coben, yes, it is. That's right.
Good morning. Is it okay to head into an area that you guys have not talked about?
By all means, go right ahead. Go ahead, Ken. That's fine.
Morning. Still there?
Yes, sure am. We're here.
Hello.
Yes, we're here. Go right ahead, Ken.
Hey. Are we on and ready to go?
We are. Go right ahead.
Great. Dr. Coben, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, I asked your producer if I could change topics, and he said sure. And I wanted to know if you guys are aware. I'm calling from the mountains of Western North Carolina. And I thought this was going to be a local topic. It is not, because national news has picked it up and run with it. And what I'm referring to, there's a controversy in East Waynesville about a pastor that has asked some of his congregation to leave if they plan to vote one certain way in the presidential election. Are you aware of that story?
No, I'm not. Can you elaborate a little further on it? Richie, are you aware of this story?
Yes, I have heard about that.
Well, go ahead. You take it. Go right there.
Well, thanks, caller. We're going to bring that up then.
Okay.
Are you familiar with it?
Yes, we are. Yes,
okay,
we are.
Let me ask just a couple of things. And well, for to start with, what a pleasant surprise Christian Worldview is. I just found out about the station. I just found out about policyoflibertynot.net, and I have to spend some time on my computer in the morning. And believe me, I will be listening to you guys. Just what a pleasant surprise. Okay.
Great.
With all of that done, there's an article in today's Asheville Citizen Times, I believe it's Headlines, which shows you, well, that's part of the whole deal, the reason I called you. I know I'm not supposed to read on the air, it's only one sentence, and this kind of gives you an idea of where we're coming from. The controversy at East Waynesville Baptist Church began in October when the pastor told members they should repent or resign if they planned on voting for John Kerry in November's presidential election. Now, things went south from there. The national news media has picked it up, I believe, this morning on one of your talking head shows, and probably tonight they're going to be talking about it again. My concerns, fellas, and let me throw them out to you, and I'll get off here and allow you to run with it as long as you want to. For one, I think people in the secular world look for any reason they can to make Christians look stupid and out of the norm. And here, our brother in Christ in Waynesville has just handed them an opportunity on a silver platter to do so. Secondly, I wish the mainstream media would be fair as far as here is a congregation, here's a church in Western North Carolina that has told people to get out of Dodge if they plan on voting for John Kerry. Have you guys ever heard the national media picking up any of your liberal churches that have openly encouraged their members for voting for the liberal side. And, you know, last but not least, here in the mountains of western North Carolina, maybe we're a little bit sensitive to being made to look like hillbillies anyway, and this doesn't do us any good at all. They are in a conundrum up here. That's a big college word, but it's going to get really, really interesting out there. And here again, the national news media, national guys, Fox and CNN and all of these guys, are going to pick this thing up and do their absolute best to make believers look totally ridiculous. And that's, I'd like to hear your comment on it if you think it's worthy of talking about.
Oh, absolutely. Thanks a lot, caller.
You bet. Thank you.
And I actually did hear about that. Apparently, the pastor of this church in... did he say it was Waynesville?
Waynesboro, I think.
Waynesboro, okay. I know it was near in the Asheville area, what I heard. He told congregation, if you're planning on voting for John Kerry, and some people said he also included, and if you're pro-choice, then you might as well quit the church or something like that. And I mean, I don't have a problem with that completely, depending on the exact wording, and we don't know what the exact wording was.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with any churches being politically involved. In fact, they should be politically involved, because it's part of the Christian worldview for them to influence the culture in which they live. Of course, I think liberals get away with murder, literally, when it comes to abortion, and in general, philosophically, with both the news media hitting them with the soft gloves, as well as the government leaving them alone entirely. But if you get true conservatives or true libertarians standing up for their rights, or standing up for the vision of the founders, opposing the philosophy of the New World Order, or whatever else you might want to call it that comes out with their malarkey that's taught in public schools, again, the secular humanist stance on things, then all of a sudden, boy, you've got problems. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Hoban and my guest host this morning, Rippin' Richie Williams, and we'll be right back.
Warning, Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
As nations cannot be rewarded or punished in the next world, they must be so in this. By an inevitable chain of causes and effects, Providence punishes national sins by national calamities. George Mason.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. As many of you know that the Tyranny Response Network is listener-supported, and here's Gene Papke to tell you how you can support the Tyranny Response Network.
That's right, John. Folks, if you support TRN and you want to help financially, here's how. We at TRN are a listener-supported broadcast, but we don't take a notions, potions, and lotions approach to fundraising. If you own, operate, or work for a company with bad paper, that is, non-performing assets, we can turn that garbage into gold. Simply go to our website, NPPros, that's N as in non, P as in profit, PROS as in professionals, your non-profit professionals, that's NPPros.com. And remember, we raise funds, but without fundraisers.
Log on today to www.npros.com and find out how you can be a vital part in supporting the Tyranny Response Network.
H.L. Mencken, of government, at least in democratic states, it may be said briefly that it is an agency engaged wholesale, and as a matter of solemn duty in the performance of acts which all self-respecting individuals refrain from as a matter of common decency.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
Welcome back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. I'm Rippin' Richie. I want to tell you about a little happening going on tonight, the Institute on the Constitution. You are cordially invited to join friends and neighbors for a wonderful opportunity to learn about American history. something you won't learn in public school, by the way, the underlying biblical principles on which our government is based, and the history of the drafting and ratification of the Constitution of the United States. Classes began on April 11th. They continue every Monday evening for 12 weeks. So how many more do we have?
This is the fifth one tonight.
This is the fifth one. Okay. Starts at 6:30, runs till 8 o'clock. Each class will feature an informative 30-minute video lecture by constitutional attorney and professor Dr. John Eidsmo. Did I pronounce that correctly?
Yes, you did.
Of Faulkner University. Don't miss this opportunity to learn how America can recover its lost freedom and the legacy of liberty our founding fathers fought to preserve. Call Pastor Tony Romo at 269-1443 for information or to register. Once again, that's Tony Romo at 269-1443 for more information about the Institute on the Constitution.
Well, you don't get history in a public school, but you do get a story, don't you? I mean, you get a lot of revisionist history.
Yeah,
someone's story. Yeah.
Now, the caller we had before the break brought up the story that apparently is national news at this point. A pastor in North Carolina had told the congregation that if you're voting for John Kerry, and some people have said he also added, and if you're pro-choice, then you should either repent or resign from the church, something like that. And, of course, a lot of people are upset about that. But let me ask you this. If there had been a candidate running for office in North Carolina, some local office, who was openly a racist, a segregationist, whatever, and the pastor had said, if you support this racist who's running for whatever office, you should either repent or resign from the church, would anyone have complained about that?
If you're asking me, I don't think so. I think that
of course not.
Yeah. Okay. Go ahead.
That's why the killing of unborn children is somehow acceptable to these people that would complain about this guy.
Yeah. Oh, it's just a terrible travesty of justice to what goes on, the way they treat churches. You know, the founding fathers during the era of the founding fathers, we had preceding the founding fathers and their movements in the 1770s, you had the first Great Awakening, where people by and large, almost in mass, converted to the Christian faith here in the United States. It was one of the greatest spiritual revivals in the history of the world. But what happened after that was that people became very politically involved, and pastors would literally preach sermons with their uniforms, you know, officers' uniforms, under their robes. And they would tell their congregations to go out and not only get involved in politics, but get out there and get involved with open rebellion, what the British considered open rebellion, to the king. What a stark contrast with what we've got today with these milquetoast, mealy-mouthed media pundits and other people who are trying to rewrite history and take us away from the vision of the founding fathers. Remember that case? I don't know if you remember that, Richie, but in California right now, there's a court case about whether or not a history professor can use the Declaration of Independence in class. And basically, the school board has already said, no, it's too radical of a document. It contains the word God in it, and we can't have the people being taught the Declaration of Independence.
Yeah, I did hear that. I heard that guy on the radio on a show in Chicago when I lived there, as a matter of fact. And I can't remember exactly how they managed to pull that off. I know that he did. I think they exaggerated the point to which he spoke about the emphasis of God and tried to take that out of context. But apparently he did not. In other words, he didn't say that the Declaration of Independence was wholly a spiritual document. I mean, he did go over the different parts of the Declaration of Independence, but they were upset because he also went over the fact that it does mention the Creator.
Mm. Interesting stuff. Well, I'll tell you, there's a couple other things going on in the news today. I just noticed on Fox News that judges ruling against the sex ed program is grabbing the national eye. We're talking about our public school system once again. A judge's order on Thursday evening to halt a new public school sex education curriculum in the affluent suburbs of Washington, D.C. could have significant ramifications throughout the rest of the country. A group of parents took their opposition to the sex ed courses to court last week, arguing that they depicted homosexuality as a naturally and morally correct lifestyle and did not offer any contrary opinion. Now, again, we're not surprised when we see public schools doing this sort of thing. Remember the guy in Boston last week, the parent that was concerned that his son was learning about a dual male parent family as being a good thing, was complaining about it, would not leave until they heard his case, and they put him in jail for trespassing. You remember that happened last week in Boston? Well, Virginia actually does a little remnant of the Christian worldview there, and this judge has actually ruled in favor of families. Now, this probably won't last. If we look at history, we see a steady decline towards liberalism, towards an anti-Christian sentiment and worldview in the public school system, and it's interesting to watch this case. Have you been watching this too, Richie, this whole issue of the sex ed program, the homosexuality movement recently in public schools?
Well, I haven't seen this particular story, but I know that this has been going on for a while, and it's atrocious. I mean, I'm glad my kids are not in the public school system, because I don't know what I would do if I found out some teacher was trying to teach my kid this stuff.
Well, I guess there's always the baseball bat method, but you might think of other things that are more... I didn't say that. Well, I wouldn't do that to any teacher that's teaching homosexuality to my kid or fondling. How about these women that fondle all these boys? I mean, you know, some people say, well, how can they be charged with rape? How can a woman rape a man? Well, can you imagine what these women are doing to entice these young boys in class all over the country? Remember, there was that sort of that sprat of five or six different cases that came up towards the end of last year or early this year.
Well, I mean, you got a teenage boy. You think about what's going on with a teenage boy that time in his life, and then to have someone he's supposed to be able to trust. I mean, that teacher would have a lot of power over that kid because of the hormones and because of the position of authority. So
yeah.
It's definitely a crime.
Yeah, no, there's no question about it. The one that sticks in my mind is the gal that had pictures of herself having sex on her cell phone, like movies. She passed her cell phone around in class to help all the other kids enjoy watching her do this. You know, unbelievable. This is the kind of woman that I have to be careful as a Christian how I say this, but in my at least in my flesh, if somebody were to tie her up in a burlap sack and take her to the bridge and throw her off into the river, it wouldn't really bother me. But in reality, as a Christian, it would, folks. I'm being a little bit facetious here. It just grates on me when I see these predators, female or male or other, you know, otherwise transgendered people taking advantage of children. It just irritates me.
Transgendered.
That's like getting railroaded, I guess. I'm not sure. at any rate. Well, okay. Well, appreciate
it. It's a shame that our kids have to learn what that word means.
Yes, it sure is. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. The producer has just given me a signal that it's time to go to a break, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Disinfecting the modern mainstream media. Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
Civilization is the progress toward a society of privacy. The savage's whole existence is public, ruled by the laws of his tribe. Civilization is the process of setting men free from men. Ayn Rand.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is your captain speaking. We want to thank you for flying TRN Airways. Now, if you'll just look out of your left side window, you can see the dense clouds of liberal lunacy commonly polluting the airwaves. On the right side, you can see clear skies full of common sense, liberty-minded conversation. Now, as we enter the Christian worldview airspace, we'll be experiencing clear-headed thinking and will soon be reaching logical conclusions. Feel free to recline your seat and enjoy the remainder of the flight. And thank you for flying TRN Airways.
Mr. Speaker, I want someone on that side of the House to tell me the difference between the bold robber who holds you up on the highway and robs you of your money, and the government that does the bidding of a band of robbers who prescribe the conditions by which you shall come in and surrender your money. I will tell you the difference. One takes his chances and runs the risk of losing his own life in his effort to rob others, while the other gang uses the governmental machinery to hold up and plunder the citizen and, in the name of law, commits his crimes against humanity. Congressman James T. Heflin, Alabama, 1909.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
Welcome back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. I was expecting to hear who made that quote. I didn't hear that. The hurled with great force quote.
I don't know. One of our production staff put it on there. I don't know if it's actually a quotation from somebody or not.
Yeah, because that's why I waited a split second. I thought they'd say who said that. All right, let's make an announcement here. On Tuesday, May the 10th. That's coming up soon. What's today? The 9th? Well, that's tomorrow. All right. Tomorrow, a special Confederate Memorial Day ceremony will be conducted on the campus of Clemson University. Please tell everyone you can to come out in observance of this day to honor our Confederate ancestors who paid the ultimate sacrifice in defense of their families and their beloved Southland. Service will be held at Tillman Hall at 10 a.m. tomorrow. All are invited to attend. For more information, please call Henry Hopkins at 864-944-1895. That's 864-944-1895. And Dr. John Coben, of course, the star of the show. I'm Rippin' Richie here. Co-hosting this week. And Dr. John, I have a question for you.
Of course.
What is an allodial land title?
Oh my, an allodial land title. That's a topic for an entire show. An allodial, the word allodial actually occurs in several of our state constitutions, including the Constitution of New York, although the liberals have been trying to eradicate it as an archaic word, as well as the Constitution of Wisconsin. And I believe there are a total of 11 states that either have it in the Constitution itself or in some case law, an important ruling. For instance, in Pennsylvania, there's a very important ruler, Wallace versus Harmstead in 1863, about allodial land titles. Allodial land titles refer to property as the king owned it, not subject to any regulation or income tax whatsoever. And if you have an allodial title, basically you are the king of your land. The government can never take it, can never foreclose on it. There can't be any eminent domain. Nothing can affect your property unless you will it to be done that way. This was the kind of property that the founding fathers debated and talked about and decided that it was a good thing for America to have. Unfortunately, there was never a full conversion out of the old feudal system under the king, and nowadays we have once again the feudal system back again. So in short, since we don't have we weren't planning necessarily to do a whole show on allodialism today, although I did my dissertation was on allodialism. Allodial title is real property that is building or land and things attached to it, like buildings and crops, that are held without any kind of government regulation being assigned to them or any property taxes levied against it.
In other words, you don't have to actually continue to rent your property from the government.
That's right. Well, and see, we don't actually have real property in the United States. We actually just have privileges to use and possess it. We have no right to real property as envisioned by the founding fathers. We have not since Lincoln, at least, maybe even before then, but most likely just since the Reconstruction era, we lost allodial land rights.
Abraham Lincoln, our greatest president.
Yeah, greatest evil president. We don't appreciate Abraham Lincoln here. If you're passing by the monuments in Washington, D.C., when you salute Thomas Jefferson, despite his foibles, salute him. He was a great man. He was one who really did good things for our country. But save a little bit of spit for when you pass by the brand-new Franklin Delano Roosevelt Memorial. And then the Lincoln Memorial. Go ahead and spit on both of those.
Stinking Lincoln.
Yes, for sure. Well, I'll tell you what, we're talking about a number of interesting subjects today. One, I got a map off of the internet yesterday showing where the United States has a military presence, and it is amazing. Do you know how much money we spend on stationing troops overseas? It is phenomenal. And I'm looking at this map, all of Western Europe, and then Norway as well, a number of countries in Eastern Europe, looks like Hungary, as well as some near Turkey. In fact, in Turkey, Saudi Arabia, and some of the other parts of the peninsula, obviously Iraq and Afghanistan now, as well as Central Asia, Australia, New Zealand, Japan, Korea, Peru, Ecuador, Colombia, and many places in Central America, these are permanent settlements for the United States military. Why are we spending all this money on putting these people out over there? Oh, Chuck Baldwin, I wanted to just quick read this before we come up to our bottom of the hour break. And we won't read the entire thing, but we always appreciate reading Chuck Baldwin. He's such an excellent person, commentator. He's a pastor who was a vice presidential candidate for the Constitution Party last election. He says, one of the reasons many Americans are fed up with our government's incessant military forays overseas is due to the manner in which Uncle Sam spends billions of dollars propping up various dictatorships only later to ask our sons and daughters to fight and die in an attempt to overthrow those very same dictatorships. Sadly, this has been a redundant bottom line of our foreign policy since World War II. Furthermore, not only has it not mattered to a hill of beans which party was in the White House, Republicans seem to have more egregious record in this regard than Democrats. Could a recent decision by the Bush administration to send nearly $2 billion to the Sudan be the latest example of this foolishness? According to the Washington Times, the Bush administration plans to send almost $1.8 billion in reconstruction, development, and humanitarian aid to Sudan in the next 2 years, despite the continuing violence in the country's Darfur region, senior officials say on April 15th. The Times report also stated there are no strings to the money. A senior State Department official said that means any corrupt person in the Sudan, stand in line, get ready. The money's going to fall out of the airplane in bundles, no less than $10,000 denominations of those bundles. Put them in your pockets and run. You'll become a fat cat in your country based on the generosity, magnanimous actions of the United States taxpayer. You know, we want to get our more comments about this, but we're being signaled for a quick break here at the bottom of the hour. So let's come back to this topic. What do you say, Richard, when we come back? Why don't you bring us out and we'll talk about this whole military fiasco we have going on. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
In Common Sense, Thomas Paine writes, "Could we take off the dark covering of antiquity pertaining to the origin of kings and of the state and trace them to their first rise, we should find the first of them nothing better than the principal ruffian of some restless gang, whose savage manners or preeminence subtly obtained him the title of chief among plunderers, and who by increasing in power and extending his depredations overawed the quiet and defenseless to purchase their safety by frequent contributions."
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
A wise and frugal government, which shall restrain men from injuring one another, which shall leave them otherwise free to regulate their own pursuits of industry and improvement, and shall not take from the mouth of labor the bread it has earned. This is the sum of good government. Thomas Jefferson, in his first presidential inaugural address, 1801.
Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville. If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. Warning: Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis. Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a Ph.D. degree in public policy, M.A. degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of 6 homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
Welcome back to the show, and folks, exciting news, we have a call. But first, the weather.
And we have in the upstate here, is my microphone hot there? I can't tell if I'm actually being heard out there. I got my
I can hear you, Dr. John.
Well, just because you can hear me, you're sitting right next to me.
No,
I
mean,
other people can hear me out there.
I'm talking about through the headphones.
Oh, okay. Well, assuming you can hear me out there in radio land, we have 69 degrees currently in Greenville. It's 64 in Anderson and Spartanburg. For some reason, the leftists are up to something today. They're penetrating the ozone layer far faster here in the Greenville area, so it's a little warmer. However, all places will be the same, eventually be about 85 degrees today, a beautiful warm day in the upstate of South Carolina.
We're going to redistribute the warmth.
Ah, yes, very good. Well, we have a caller on the line. Nelson is on the phone. We'd like to welcome you to the program this morning, Nelson. What have you got on your mind today?
Good morning, gentlemen. Great show as usual. And Rip and Richie, I want to commend you for your ripping ministry. I heard about it when it happened, and I was just delighted to know that you were the man that pulled off that coup for our Lord and the Kingdom of God. When John told us that you were coming on to the show.
Well, thank you.
I'm intrigued to hear about the pastor in North Carolina. I believe the town name is Waynesville. And I'm going to be a little more radical than some today. I guess that doesn't surprise you, Doctor. And say that, as far as I'm concerned, that guy sounds great. And I think that more power to him. I think it's time for preachers to start looking in the mirror every morning and saying, you are called to get in that pulpit and tell the world what's true and what's right, come what may. And I think that they should have the right to tell their people who they should vote for, in their opinion.
Well, yeah, I mean, I agree with that. I mean, the pastors, I mean, when you have moral issues you're dealing with, I mean, in any election, most elections, there are clear black and white moral issues, abortion being the first one that comes to mind. And if the pastor can't speak out and say that it's wrong to kill children, what can the pastor speak out on?
Well, I would add to that, by the way, if I could just jump in here a minute, that there are more issues than just abortion we need to talk about in homosexuality. We were going to talk about some things this week, such as the Pledge of Allegiance. Why, as Christians, can we pledge allegiance to the flag, to a nation indivisible and all this stuff, when our first and only allegiance should be to the Kingdom of Jesus Christ and His Church? These are interesting questions that preachers should talk about, yet Christian preachers are so frequently sold out to the state and its programs that they are unwilling to decry those things in their own to their own congregations.
That's right. As a matter of fact, abortion and queerdom, to call things, well, feticide and queerdom, to call things by their proper name, they're the only two moral issues that most, even most conservative preachers are willing to address nowadays. I guess they're kind of the safe ones, the ones that they're faithful will not pound them about if they get beyond the narrow confines of what's considered acceptable nowadays. I think any preacher that is not being railed on as an extremist is not really worth his salt. I think if the liberal establishment isn't coming after you and calling you ugly names, either they don't know about you yet or you're not doing your job. Thanks, guys.
All right, thanks for the call, Nelson.
Appreciate the call, Nelson.
And yeah, it does seem like if Pastor Now was saying the things that pastors were saying back in the late 1700s, they would certainly be having problems with the liberal media, for sure.
Yeah, no question about it. Appreciate that comment, Nelson. I wish that Christian pastors had more backbone. Remember when Chuck Baldwin was on our program about middle of last month? That program is recorded, by the way, on the policyofliberty.net home site, in case you're interested in hearing what he had to say when directly on the show. He blamed the congregation more than the pastors for the decline in American morality, American interest in politics, in public policy, a general lack of enthusiasm in terms of understanding a theology of public policy. He blamed the congregation for that. I disagreed with Chuck about this. I think that pastors are a bunch of men who are full of the fear of man today, and they're not willing to stand up for what the truth is. And I know now from what you said, Nelson, you'd probably concur with that statement, and I applaud anyone who's willing to take a stand against the wicked state today, even at great cost, personal liberty or otherwise.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and as Nelson said, I mean, many pastors will speak out about abortion to a certain extent, and homosexuality, of course, to a certain extent. But how many pastors will speak out against socialism and the redistribution of wealth?
They probably like socialism. In fact, their wife probably gets a paycheck from the public school, and their parents probably easily get Social Security checks, and none of these things are wrong. Oh, no, we wouldn't want to touch those sacred cows.
Well, of course, according to the scripture, the church is supposed to take care of the orphans and widows. And if the church actually did that instead of the government, then that could cause problems for some churches.
Yeah, it sure would. I think it's a sad commentary that Christians are so easily misled and deceived by using common words such as contributions. You know, the word contributions is what people call the tax, the Social Security tax, the money that's confiscated from your paycheck at a rate of actually 15.4% if you count the Medicare portion. This money is stolen from you. The government tells you you're just making a contribution into a trust fund, which doesn't actually exist. And then when it comes time for you to retire, they go out and loot other people as a band of thugs would, threaten to break their kneecap so you can get some money for retirement because you didn't save and because the church isn't doing its job. It's a very sad commentary. Well, I'll tell you what, we're coming up to another break here on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We'll be talking about this and more about the military predatory militarism that the United States has and having 255,000 troops stationed all around the globe when we come back.
Warning, Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
As nations cannot be rewarded or punished in the next world, they must be so in this. By an inevitable chain of causes and effects, Providence punishes national sins by national calamities. George Mason.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. As many of you know that the Tyranny Response Network is listener-supported, and here's Gene Papke to tell you how you can support the Tyranny Response Network.
That's right, John. Folks, if you support TRN and you want to help financially, here's how. We at TRN are a listener-supported broadcast, but we don't take a notions, potions, and lotions approach to fundraising. If you own, operate, or work for a company with bad paper, that is non-performing assets, we can turn that garbage into gold. Simply go to our website, NP Pros, that's N as in non, P as in profit, PROS, as in professionals, your nonprofit professionals, that's npros.com. And remember, we raise funds, but without fundraisers.
Log on today to www.npros.com and find out how you can be a vital part in supporting the Tyranny Response Network.
H.L. Mencken, of government, at least in democratic states, it may be said briefly that it is an agency engaged wholesale, and as a matter of solemn duty in the performance of acts which all self-respecting individuals refrain from as a matter of common decency.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
Welcome back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. I'm Rippin' Richie. If you want to call and be on the show, I don't know, do we even want to give out the number?
We might as well. I mean,
we've had some technical difficulties today.
Yeah. It's 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You can also try our backup line if you can't get through or there's some trouble on the line. We've had some technical problems
with
that line.
There's definitely trouble on the line.
Anytime I'm on the line, there's going to be trouble, folks. You should know that by now. 864-201-6955 is the backup line, 864-201-6955. And we appreciate all the webcast listeners we have. We have a surge in people listening on the web today. Not only our caller from Asheville, just got an email from Virginia. Ken writes in, and we have another Ken. The one Ken was from the Asheville area, Waynesboro, or Waynesville, whatever it was called.
Wayne something.
Yeah, Wayne, you know, it was some male name with a with something attached to it at the end of it. Ken also writes from Virginia, thanking me for sending him the link to policyofliberty.net. He says he's listening to the program as he types an email to me. And so the email is actually more of a private email of a discussion we're having with a George W. Bush supporter who's a radio announcer up there trying to tell all the people to follow after the Pied Piper that George W. Bush is much better than John Kerry, and therefore we're glad we voted for him. Oh, yeah, right. Like, we have a lot less abortion and a lot Bush has had more homosexual appointments than any other modern president. In fact, any other president in history. This guy is a complete sellout, a liar. He has played the Christian right so well in getting people to vote for him. The guy is probably not even saved. Look at the guy's lifestyle. Look at where he goes to church. I mean, give me a break. The Christians are so gullible.
Where'd he go to church?
He goes to some kind of an Episcopalian church.
Oh, goodness.
Or somebody told me, well, he's really a Methodist. Oh, well, that makes a difference. Yeah, you're one of those United Methodist type people instead.
I know some good Methodists.
Do you really? Oh, there's some actually saved Methodists out there. I met one or two.
Well, I think so. You know, yeah. I think I wouldn't be quite as harsh as Dr. John Coben on George Bush. I think that I think he means well. I think he's a nice guy. I just don't think that he has a biblical worldview.
Yeah.
Well, I think he's saved. I think, you know, because he got off alcohol and all that. But there's so many, most of the Christians in America, they just don't get it. I mean, they've never even heard the things that you're saying on your show every day. It's totally foreign to them. And I mean, you would hope someone in the highest office in the land would have studied the Constitution. But, I'm not sure he has.
No, I'm not sure that he has either. In fact, I base my judgments. Jesus says you'll know them by their fruits. And what's the fruit of George Bush's presidency? He has the power at the stroke of a pen, executive order, to eliminate abortion, to end it right now. Use the military, whatever it is, to shut it down. He has the ability to choose people who are not homosexual activists in his campaign. A Christian normally is not going to be hanging around with homosexual activists. I know there's people, the conspiracy theorists out there, who are saying that he actually is a bisexual or homosexual himself. I'm not going to go that far. I don't have evidence of that, but it wouldn't surprise me if that were the case. But George Bush's foreign policy and going out and literally slaughtering thousands and thousands of innocent people, to me, this also indicates he does not only not have a Christian worldview, doesn't even have a regenerate heart. That's my view. I know I'm making a pretty harsh judgment there, but I don't know any way to do it other than to judge by the fruit. And I try to get people to wake up and say and tell them that this is not their man. If you were a Christian voting for George W. Bush and you thought you were going to get a Christian president, a Christian nation, and blah, 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 you've been sadly deceived. And I hope you're now waking up to that a little bit. And Ken was writing in to me after listening to my comments made to another radio talk show host up there in Virginia on this very issue. He was a great defender of G.W. Bush. Probably has one of those W bumper stickers on him. I didn't know what that W thing was for a long time. I've been so out of it. Anyway, back to you, Richie. What do you think about the war issue, about the troops being planted all over the world? We were talking about that when we came out of the break at the end of the last segment.
Well, of course, the founding fathers didn't think we should be involved in everyone else's business, and I would agree with that. Now, most people think, most Christians would think, most true Christians, or at least active Christians, would think, you know, Democrat bad, Republican good, military good, all black and white like that. But of course, you're presenting a different viewpoint. And as I said, I don't think that we should be in everybody's business. It seems like we're getting into the business of other countries just as we get into the business of people's private lives here in America. It's a consistent big government interventionism, not just in America but all over the world.
Yeah, I think you're right about that, and maybe it's good for the economy over there. Just think how many jobs we create by having 255,000 full-time salaried welfare state militarists out there handing out food or guarding embassies. Or what does the military do with all those troops over there besides have a big party all the time? And
I don't see how we can have military bases and troops up in Greenland, but we can't defend the border of the United States.
Yeah, well, that's interesting. Do they really want to defend the border? I mean, this is a problem, and as long as there's a problem, there's a need for the government. The government has failed to protect the border, and the idea that they would protect it is also very questionable. Why would we assume the people who have failed to do it would actually come forth and actually protect it in the long run? It's rather a strain of logic and reasoning to assume that such a thing could occur. That's why I advocate solutions like the Minuteman Project or free market solutions that would allow privatizing the border. I think that's a better solution. And I don't think the problem would be near as bad if that market were handling things. Also, we would have no problem at all if we had no welfare state. You realize people that come over here, primarily, the primary problem is that they get welfare state benefits. They go to the public school, they get educated, they go to using the emergency rooms here for free and so forth. California emergency rooms are almost out of business because of so many Mexican illegals or others just filling up the room for free care. Did you know that?
Well, we also cater to them by having everything in two languages.
Oh, it's absurd. When I lived in Chile, for instance, we never thought for a minute that we would force everyone else to learn our language in English. And that's a long ways from the United States. It was 8,000 miles from where we left in Los Angeles there. And hey, you know, it was there's just no chance that I'm going to get everybody to speak English. I had to learn Spanish. I'm in their country. I'm going to learn Spanish. That's just the way it is. Nothing wrong with having a second language. If they want to speak Spanish at home and English, too, I don't have a problem with that.
Right.
But, you know, the public school, oh, no, they've got this other agenda.
I agree. Well, folks, we're up on a break, and we'll have just one more segment left of Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. I'm Rippin' Richie. We'll be right back.
Disinfecting the modern mainstream media. Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
Civilization is the progress toward a society of privacy. The savage's whole existence is public, ruled by the laws of his tribe. Civilization is the process of setting men free from men. Ayn Rand.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is your captain speaking. We want to thank you for flying TRN Airways. Now, if you'll just look out of your left side window, you can see the dense clouds of liberal lunacy commonly polluting the airwaves. On the right side, you can see clear skies full of common sense, liberty-minded conversation. Now, as we enter the Christian worldview airspace, we'll be experiencing clear-headed thinking, and we'll soon be reaching logical conclusions. Feel free to recline your seat and enjoy the remainder of the flight. And thank you for flying TRN Airways.
Mr. Speaker, I want someone on that side of the House to tell me the difference between the bold robber who holds you up on the highway and robs you of your money and the government that does the bidding of a band of robbers who prescribe the conditions by which you shall come in and surrender your money. I will tell you the difference. One takes his chances and runs the risk of losing his own life in his effort to rob others, while the other gang uses the governmental machinery to hold up and plunder the citizen and, in the name of law, commits his crimes against humanity. Congressman James T. Heflin, Alabama, 1909.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net, that's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
If you have a question or a comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
Oh, and we love to do that. Here's a typical liberal public school person up in Missoula or somewhere. Yeah, I think it's Missoula, Montana. Here we have a student's decision to bring a BB pistol he found to school results in a one-year suspension.
Oh,
best
boy.
Thing that ever happened to that kid. He got suspended from the public school. Just think, one less year of being indoctrinated. His family might stick him at home now and homeschool the kid, actually put him in front of a book where he actually can learn something. And then, you know, during recess, he can go take his gun in the yard or BB pistol, whatever he wants, and practice shooting. What's wrong with that? Sounds like a great plan. Glad to hear that another casualty has been saved for at least a year from the public school system. So,
hey, apparently he's banished from every public school. school in the United States for the next 11 months.
It's a wonderful thing to have happen to you, don't you think? Don't you wish that every kid could be banned from the public school in the United States? Isn't it funny how we think differently here on the Christian Worldview World Show? Well, here's an interesting story that Fox News came up with. My wife actually brought this one up. It says, "Mothers deserve our thanks. We'd never put a price tag on the work our mothers did in raising us, but you may have seen the study from Salary.com that added up all the duties of a stay-at-home mom and came up with a figure of $131,471. That's an annual salary plus overtime for the 100 hours of work a week that stay-at-home mom does for her family. What that figure doesn't seem to show is that many, if not most, American mothers now have to work in addition to taking care of their homes, and so on and so forth." Well, I actually looked up the data on this. It's a cute story, and we do appreciate all of you stay-at-home moms, especially those who stay at home and homeschool your kids. I mean, this is a wonderful thing. You're doing a great service to everyone in society, basically, by homeschooling kids, by raising children at home and staying at home, at least if you can, part-time. I know some mothers need to work full time and so forth, and that's a shame, and it's tragic in many ways. But at least with modern appliances and conveniences, and with the other benefits of our modern technological age, it's a lot easier to cope with doing that kind of multitasking and being the Proverbs 31 mom. However, the salary number here, I have to tell you, Richie, it's really inflated. What they did is take a weighted average of a CEO salary of $612,000 a year and say that a mother's really a part-time CEO. And, you know, so it came up with all sorts. The number's kind of bogus. I mean, right. If you really had to, you know, use an economic analysis of this, the mother's labor, if without doing the homeschooling, might only be worth, you know, $25,000 a year. But it is still worth something in terms of, you know, financially. But far more, it's worth something that's in non-quantifiable terms to the benefit of the child that she's raising or the children that she's raising. So wanted to point out that story and give our appreciation and thanks today to mothers.
True.
Okay, we have one other story here that was sent in by a Libertarian Party about property tax relief stalling in South Carolina despite an outcry. Mark Johnson of Chapin is tired of hearing the talk and wants to see state lawmakers take action to lower his property taxes. Remember, we talked about a low dealism early on. You are a feudal tenant who has the privilege to possess and use your property so long as the government sees fit and so long as you pay the fee to the lord of the manor. At any rate, Johnson, who works in the South Carolina Gas and Electric Power Plant in Jenkinsville, hoped the General Assembly would do something this year to ease his rising tax bill, but lawmakers concede that's probably not going to happen until next year at the earliest. I'm one of those old-fashioned guys that believe when you buy a home, it's your castle, not the county's, Johnson said. Sounds like he's a founding father, even. You know, sounds like he's somebody who had a political philosophy about 200 years old. The General Assembly needs to get the courage to do what needs to be done. But why would they? When you think about it, what incentive does a government have who actually owns all your property and gives you the right or the privilege to possess it and use it? Why would they want to lower your taxes? They need the tax revenue. Well, the only reason is that they might gain some votes if the election's close. But other than that, you haven't got a dream of really having lower property, you know, real property taxes in your lifetime. You came up from, Richard, you were up in New York and Chicago or something?
Chicago, yeah.
What are property taxes like up there compared to here?
I know New York, they're outrageous. I mean, I knew of a family that we went to church with who they had to sell their house because they could not afford the property tax. And I mean, it's not the mortgage, the property tax.
That's amazing. How much are you talking about? Thousands of dollars a month, or what is it? How much were they paying?
I think it was close to $1,000 a month.
Wow, what can you say? The public school in New York, as I understand, is the most expensive public school in America. Is it $15,000 per student is spent per year?
I heard 10, but that was a few years ago.
Yeah, I think there was a story that it went up to $15,000 now per student. It was really close to that. It was way higher than most places in the nation. I think the national average right now is right at about $10,000.
Well, you know that the school systems still aren't as good as they should be. You know why?
Yeah, I know why. What do you say?
Because they don't have enough money.
Yeah.
That's always the answer.
That's the one answer I actually didn't know.
That's always the answer.
We need to do.
Isn't that always the answer?
We'll improve everything if we just give them some more money.
The answer is always more money.
Oh, Yes, more money, more power. Take away the power from parents. We need to get kids better educated on the virtues of homosexual sodomite unions and those people raising our kids, especially if they're members of the Man-Boy Love Association and can show with some practical hands-on experience just how the sodomy works. Don't you think that's what public schooling's all about, folks? And it's great for our nation. They can watch MTV in the background while they practice their craft. Well, we could probably get up on a soapbox and talk about public schools. If you've got your kids in a public school, folks, you're in sin. You got to get them out. It's wrong to have them there. It's just, it's horrible for the kid, and it doesn't do anything for the kingdom of God or for the Christian worldview. Where do you have your kids, Richie? You said they're not in the public school, thankfully, but where do you have them, at Christian school? Or?
Well, I hate to say it, but we found out that the school that my kids go to, there are guns there.
You're kidding.
No.
What do they do with them? Are they practicing, or how are they handling
them? Well, they're actually guns in the school, but they're there to protect the children, though.
Oh, okay.
We homeschool.
That's excellent. So they learn how to. Do your kids actually know how to shoot guns?
No, I'm just saying that there's guns in our house. Is what I'm saying.
Oh.
But they're there to protect the children. Well, the point is that guns aren't always a bad thing.
Well,
it just depends on what kind of where they are, and then the. Mentality of the people that are in the same area.
Well, I wonder what would happen if they were to sit in that public school class, one of your kids or mine, and they have the teacher passing around the video of herself having sex on her cell phone or whatever the thing was, and somebody pulls out a gun to defend himself from the from being forced to look at that. I wonder, they're just to threaten,
One of those kids should have took that phone and take it to the authorities, but...
Yeah, well, I think someone actually did. I think that's why she got in trouble.
Good.
Good for them. I don't know if it was actually the phone. Maybe they all just testified about it. But yeah, she went down for that pretty hard. So, at any rate, we love bashing the public school here because it is our profound enemy. I'm just so glad that we've been able to have Rip and Richie join us today on the Christian Worldview program. He's going to be with us all week, co-hosting the show here, with thoughts eventually of having his own show here on the Tyranny Response Network. So we're working to that end. Glad he joined us today. Glad you joined us and have been listening to our amplified range here in the upstate of South Carolina. Look for more improvements on that side, too. And by all means, go and check out policyofliberty.net, policyofliberty.net. On the web and find out more about the Christian Worldview Program, the TRN, and so forth. Also, remember, just two quick announcements before we leave. Go to the Institute on the Constitution tonight, 6:30 p.m. Call Pastor Tony Romo in Pelzer, 864-269-1443. Be sure you do go, 864-269-1443 if you can. And tomorrow morning at Clemson University at 10 o'clock, you have a special service for a Confederate Memorial Day ceremony. Anyway, you've been listening to Christian Worldview today with Dr. John Coben and my special co-host this week, Rip and Richie Williams, and we look forward to seeing you again here on Christian Worldview.
You've been listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben on TRN. Join us again tomorrow morning right here at 97.7 FM on the Tyranny Response Network for Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben with Integrity Group. Let's consider Christian